The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
What we learned yesterday, very briefly, was the idea that in order for us to be successful in this path, we have to have something which is called Iman-e Ashura'i. Were there ritualist Muslims at the time of Imam Hussein? 100%. 100%. Doing acts of worship. Let me mention some of the acts of worship. I want us to just think about how serious of a problem this is. Imam Sajjad says this: 30,000 men marched on my father to shed his blood, qurbatan ilallah. This is what the Imam says. He says, kullun yataqarrabu ilallah azza wa jal bidamihi. Those 30,000 men, those ritualist Muslims, marching on the Imam to kill the son of Fatima. Why? To get closer to God. To get closer to God. Brothers and sisters, do you know how many times Shimr made Hajj? Shimr. 16 times he walked to Hajj. Walked to Hajj. These stories, this opportunity to be in the tent of Imam Hussein, to go over these lessons, it's not a joke for us. It's not a ritual. No, we're trying to learn what happened, what went wrong, so we can understand how Imam Hussein saves us. So remember what we said, what we learned before, was the idea that being a mu'min, being on the right path, being able to help out in the cause is very different than being a ritualist Muslim. One of the conditions, brothers and sisters, was the idea that we have intellectual conviction when it comes to Islam. People might do deeds, many deeds. Does that mean the iman is ashura'i? In order to be a mu'min, this is a carefully thought out intellectual realization. The reason I'm mu'min, everybody could become kafir. I can't unlearn the truth. We're going to build on this later. After that, we said that if I'm truly a mu'min, Islam does have expectations. Allah's a straight shooter. The Quran calls a spade a spade. Ayat of Quran now. The Quran says this. This is Surah 3, verse number 132. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ. Obey Allah. وَالرَّسُولَ. And the messenger. Then what does it say? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Maybe, if you do that, if you obey Allah and the messenger, maybe Allah will have mercy on you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Islam is a very practical religion. Yes, there's an expectation. If it's really God who's spoken to me, my creator, then yeah, then after that I just do. I'm committed, whatever it takes. It can't be the case that I'm a believer in my mind. I've done the mental acrobatics. I could mention 1,000 proofs for why Imam Hussein is an imam. But it doesn't affect me. Now that we've done that, let's talk a little bit about that real role that Imam Hussein played in salvation. Our salvation. Why is it that we're gathered in these tents? Why do we take this time out? Why do we bring our families? And by the way, let me just salute those parents who brought their children. From the beginning, they're used to the idea. We come to the majlis of Imam Hussein. Very important. What is the role that Imam Hussein plays in our salvation, our personal salvation? I mentioned the hadith. The hadith was that, Innal Hussein, truly Hussein. Misbahul Huda. He's a lantern of guidance. And my question for you is this. Imam Hussein wasn't able to save everybody, was he? Imam Hussein, look at the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. He tried to save everyone. He tried to save everyone. When you look at the qiyam of the Imam, how many times did the Imam go over and make statements? We have a hadith from the Imam where he explained, so there's times where he explains his philosophy, why he's doing this, what's the ruling, I'm acting upon, what did the Prophet say? One of them is, Man ra'a sultanan ja'iran, whoever sees a tyrannical tyrant, then so on. Everybody's taklif was to go with Imam Hussein. Everyone. So Imam wanted to save everyone. More than that, the Imam, if he had only had help, he could have done what Imam Mahdi will do. You'd be surprised. Our scholars have talked about this. What percentage of the people were needed in order for the Imam to topple the government in Kufa? And then after that, march on Basra, march on Sham. Was it everybody? No. If only a small portion of the people had done their responsibility, then the Imam would have led them to victory. He would have established the kingdom of God on the earth. Unfortunately, or fortunately, the way that God works, brothers and sisters, is this. It's conditional victory that we've been promised. We've been promised victory. But it's conditional victory. If we do our part, then the Imam becomes victorious. The Wali, if the Mu'mineen do their part, then he's invincible. Conditional victory. So what happened is, we know that our Imam wanted to save everybody. We know that he succeeded in saving many. You've heard the stories. I'm going to tell some of the stories. You've heard the stories before. On the way to Karbala, the Imam was able to save people. There were some people who the Imam saved on the day of Ashura, before the battle began. So he succeeded. But there were other people who the Imam, who's this ark of salvation, this lantern of guidance, he spoke with them, he addressed them. Why wasn't he able to save them? This goes back to us now, so that we can be saved. Why was he able to save some? He's there to save everyone. We've heard the hadith of the Prophet. It's true. It's hujjah. But he was able to save some. He wasn't able to save others. How does this affect us? What happens, brothers and sisters, is the people Imam Hussein was addressing were different. The problem wasn't Imam Hussein. It wasn't that he wasn't Misbahul Huda. The problem was the people. Now it becomes practical. I'll give you an example. Our Imam is trying to save everyone, even his enemies. Terrible people. Maybe you've read this, you've heard this. Umar ibn Sa'd, the commander of the enemy army. The Imam, once he realized the battle is about to begin, the Imam invited Umar ibn Sa'd. He sent a message to him. They met secretly, had a long conversation. And the Imam started, you can read about the conversation. The Imam's like, are you going to really fight me? The Imam's trying to save even one person. This is going to happen. Why have my blood on your hands? He told him, he said, don't you fear God? You know who I am. Umar bin Sa'd started coming up with excuses. He said that I'm afraid they'll destroy my house. The Imam said, I'll buy you another house. I'm afraid. The Imam said that I have land worth 30,000 gold dinars. Muawiyah tried to buy this land from me. I'll give that to you, yours. Just don't commit this sin. Umar bin Sa'd said no. Once the Imam saw he was that stubborn, I want the kingdom of Ray. He was that stubborn. Then the imam got angry then. The imam said, I pray to God that you die on your bed. I pray to God, God never forgives you in Yawm al-Qiyamah. I hope you only eat up a little of that. You know what Umar bin Sa'd said? He was like, well, if I don't get the wheat, then barley will do.
Swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.